the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a real Monday today.
Yeah.
We weren't here last Monday, right?
This is our inaugural Monday. Time goes by so fast.
Right? Can y'all believe it's already the 13th of September?
That is hard to believe.
That has zipped by so far. So we've been thinking about and praying for all of you who were in the path of Ida, and we have some information for you later. But let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, strength of those who hope in you, you willed the Bishop St. John Chrysostom should be illustrious by his wonderful eloquence and his experience of suffering. Grant us, we pray, that instructed by his teachings, we may be strengthened through the example of his invincible patience. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. John Chrysostom, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have updated Hurricane Ida food distribution and resource centers. If you are in need of help today or in need of a hot meal and some cleaning supplies, we have all of that information for you in just a few more minutes. We're joined by Father Stephen Dardis today. He is a pastor over at Holy Family in Luling, and he's going to update us on his parish. I talked to him last week, and the connection was very spotty, so we're hoping to get a good connection today from Father Dardis and see what they need over at Holy Family Church in Luling. We have Dr. Tina Holland, president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady. She's going to give us an update. They have a bunch of stuff going on this month. And Allison Millett, president and CEO of the Woman's New Life Clinic, joins us for their monthly update. Looking forward to having Allison on with us. It's always a great time when she joins us on Wake Up. But I know, Damian, we have a lot of listeners on the Texas-Louisiana state line. And I know that Nicholas is headed straight for there. My parents are in Houston. My brother's name is Nicholas. And I was like, Nicholas, what is up?
Man, well, let them put the Grigri on them and have that thing go away and dissipate fast. We are keeping an eye on Tropical Storm Nicholas at this time. In the lower Gulf of Mexico, heading straight north to the Texas coast, which is expected to reach landfall either late tonight or early tomorrow morning. Winds are going to be about 60 to 70 when it hits, and then it's going to start to really dissipate wind-wise. But that's not the concern. It's the rain that is coming with Nicholas. Expected to drop about 10 inches of rain in a lot of areas in a short period of time, and that thing is reaching all the way from Brownsville to Baton Rouge as far as rain bands go. So we are going to get a little bit of it, but not a whole lot. Lake Charles probably going to get 3 to 5 inches of rain possibly over the next 48 hours, but outside of that, that's the big concern, flooding. And we know how Houston floods rather easily. Once it moves inland, it'll dissipate, as I said, and should be out of our area and out of Louisiana by late Wednesday. Not too much to worry about there as far as a hurricane goes. Mm-hmm. But the Texas coastlines, you do need to be aware of what's going on. 50-50 chance of rain today in our area. Highs are going to be in a 83 to low at 73. Currently in New Orleans, the hot spot 78, Baton Rouge 74, home of Thibodeau 73, and in Mandeville 74 degrees. We'll be back with more on Wake Up.
Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished all his works to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill and about to die, and he was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation and he built the synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Therefore I did not consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a person subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning, said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Jesus had returned to Capernaum, a border town with a custom post that probably also had a military garrison under the command of a centurion. This Gentile slave, whom he holds in high regard, is so ill that he's about to die. The village elders come to Jesus to intercede on the centurion's behalf. They present two reasons why he is worthy of Jesus' help. One, he loves the Jewish nation, and two, he built the Jewish synagogue. Subsequently, St. Luke will introduce another centurion in Acts, Cornelius, who is respected by the whole Jewish nation. These two pagan centurions form examples of the marvelous unfolding of God's universal plan of salvation. Now, as Jesus approaches, the centurion's envoys inform Jesus that the centurion is aware that he is not fit to have Jesus enter his house, adding that he does not even consider himself worthy to approach Jesus in person. This is a remarkable declaration from a Roman centurion. However, he is a man who also understands authority, and therefore he believes that his servant can be healed by Jesus' word alone. Jesus responds in two ways. First, he heals the centurion's servant from a distance. Secondly, Jesus praises the centurion's faith as greater than anything he has seen in Israel. But in what sense? It seems that the centurion's faith goes beyond his belief in Jesus' healing power. So we may find the answer in the emphasis on authority. It appears that this pagan centurion possesses the humility and the openness to accept Jesus as possessing divine authority in his own name, which is remarkable to say the least. Here we discover an important lesson. The depth of one's faith is not based on religious background or education, but a person's humble receptiveness to grace. This perhaps is also the lesson of paraphrasing the centurion's words before we receive Holy Communion. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." Do we believe in Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist with a faith equal to the centurion? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. We're so glad you're joining us on Wake Up. It is 7:11. We wanted to share some resources with you this morning. Those of you who have been affected by Ida know of our prayers, and we want to share some information with you. The Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux has been super busy. They have, this is wonderful information I want to share, so we'll do it nice and slow so you can hear. The medical relief team will be in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux this week offering free aid. They can provide wound care, tetanus shots, medicine for diabetes, wow, hypertension, heart disease. They're doing COVID testing. They can also provide medication for anxiety, seizures, depression medications, antibiotics. They really can take care of lots of issues. So we want to make sure you know the dates today. All day, they will be at St. Joseph Church in Chauvin. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the 14th, they'll be in at Holy Family Church in Dulac. Did I say that right, Dulac? So check them out. You can go to catholiccharities.org/Ida. They are doing daily posts on the web and Facebook, and we'll let you know every morning about that. But St. Joseph Church today in Chauvin and Holy Family in Dulac tomorrow.
Wow, that is amazing. That's awesome that they can provide all of those resources over there. So I will definitely post that website in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. But CatholicCharitiesHT.org/Ida is where you can go. Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church in La Rose, Louisiana, that's on 12911 East Main. They will offer lunch today, or lunch every day at noon until further notice while supplies last. So Our Lady of the Rosary in La Rose, lunch every day at noon until supplies last. So spread the word.
Awesome. And St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church just got power. We know that they got power over the weekend. They have been awesome. Father David, we spoke to him last week. They are, I haven't seen their up-to-date meal list, but they are still celebrating Mass. Father David is celebrating Mass in the front yard of different parishioners. Today's Mass at 8:30 will be at 113 Idaho Court. So you can check out sjachurch.com or check out St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church in La Place on Facebook.
Yeah, real quick, St. Bernadette in Houma will be giving away sandwiches today at 11 a.m. Reminder that you can come get items at 9 a.m. at the Hebert Hall, and they will be open to at least noon. So St. Bernadette in Houma, 11 a.m. today, get your sandwiches.
Real quick, St. Elwha in Terrio has gas today. They will update their Facebook page to let you know when the gas arrives, but bring your full fuel cans and you can get some gasoline at St. Elwha in Terrio, Louisiana. Wonderful folks being the hand and feet of Christ in our communities. So it is 7:15. We will be back on Wake Up. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 13th. Today, we celebrate St. John Chrysostom. Born in Antioch, John Chrysostom was ordained at 21 and distinguished himself as an outstanding preacher and a devoted servant of the poor. Moving to the great city of Constantinople, he was made a bishop, where he began his service under the cloud of politics. The Bishop of Alexandria wanted his own candidate in charge of Constantinople, and fearing John's power, took steps to discredit the new bishop. Often aloof, outspoken, and zealous, John Chrysostom took few steps to help his own cause. His sermons, sometimes lasting up to 2 hours, often stung the high and mighty. He consistently called for concrete steps to share wealth with the poor. The empress took offense at his denunciations of the court, and along with Alexandria's bishop sought his banishment. Charges were leveled against John, including that of treason for a sermon that linked the empress with the lurid Jezebel. After several years in exile, St. John Chrysostom died in the year 407. His final words were, "Glory to God for all things." A doctor of the church, he is also the patron saint of preachers. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for joining us on this beautiful Monday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. Real quick, you guys, before we get to our next guest, I don't know if you saw that viral video. It was so sad, but it was a happy ending. The cat at the stadium, the college football stadium, it was hanging, falling.
It was hanging by its claw, and then finally got caught.
Yeah. It was rescued by an people were on an American flag on 9/11, and they held up the cat, and the stadium cheered, and it was just such a beautiful moment. The cat was definitely, it was a Simba moment. So, you guys.
A Simba moment. I love it. Okay, yeah. Guess what I'm doing after the show? I'm Googling. That
yes, I'll send it to you. But it just, the poor cat was so scared. But it was just one of those things where it was, whew, thank goodness, praise the Lord. So
I'm still trying to find out how the cat got there. That's what I mean. No one has a clue. All of a sudden, it's hanging. Come on,
that's weird. Yeah,
anyway. I know. Well, you guys, another praise the Lord moment is having Father Stephen Dardis on the air with us today. He's a pastor over at Holy Family Church in Luling, Louisiana. Good morning, Father Dardis.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Good. We're so glad to have you with us today. I have to say, when you see Father Dardis over around in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, he always has a smile on his face, and it's always such a joy talking to him. So I'm so excited to have you join us. Give us an update on your parish in Luling.
Well, it's definitely been a whirlwind, both of downs and disaster, but also a lot of ups, a lot of signs of hope. We definitely got hit by the hurricane pretty seriously down here in the river parishes, Holy Family, St. Anthony, St. John the Baptist in Perry, St. Gertrude in Desalman, and further west, and not to mention home of Thibodeau. It's been rough, and at the same time, just a lot of goodness. You've seen some of the best of humanity coming forward, a lot of generosity. So it's been busy keeping track of things, but God is definitely at work here. Our Blessed Mother has been very close to us, so it's kind of a whirlwind, but a lot of good amidst the loss.
Tell us how it's looking over in Luling. Is there power being restored? How is the church doing as far as masses and the sacraments?
So hats off to Entergy. I know they've been working overtime with a lot of help from all over the country. In this area, the church right here does not yet have power, but just last night, some of the local neighborhoods down the street were starting to get power. So there's a lot of hope that maybe sometime soon we'll have power, air conditioning, all those benefits that we get so used to in this area of Luling. But as you get further west, well, I know St. Anthony also got power yesterday, but further west is probably going to take a little bit longer for them to get power. It's been a challenge, but we're hopeful. We are having Mass here at Holy Family, thankfully, since day two. We were able to have Masses daily, just putting cans and a generator and just a lot of patience from the people. So we've been very blessed, and people have come together, and they're very thankful to God amidst the challenges.
Yes. What are the needs that you are seeing and what that you're looking for? People are having gas drives or having cleaning supplies drives. What are you looking for?
Honestly, I've heard a lot of requests for cleaning supplies. Everything from Clorox and bleach to mops and brooms. Outdoor cleaning, there's a lot of trees down. So like chainsaws or rakes or blowers, those kinds of things have been a big help. But pretty much every anything. I did hear that so far food, thankfully, between like Second Harvest and other organizations, food seems to be okay. Water seems to be okay. Just other items that could help people get back on their feet. I know at the very beginning, tarps were a big deal. I think that's kind of gone down since the Blue Roof program has gotten started. But really, just people appreciate the generosity, the kindness, the thought. Just knowing that they're not forgotten and people know that they're here and they're in need has been a big push forward for a lot of people.
Yes. For those who are just joining us, we're talking to Father Stephen Dardis. He is a pastor over at Holy Family in Luling. You have on your website, and I'm so glad you have this on there, if someone needs help, like cooked meals, supplies, and volunteers, you have a way for someone to get help. So if someone wants to volunteer, they can go to your website. Tell us about the cooked meals and the volunteers. What exactly are you needing volunteers for? Is it branches or cleaning? How can people help?
I think, well, first of all, I have to thank several organizations who quickly were here helping us, whether it was groups from the churches in Seidel, Our Lady of Lourdes, St. Margaret Mary, and students from Pope John Paul High School came over the first weekend, and they were cooking so many meals. I think we cooked about 7,000 meals given away to various families, and just having volunteers help with that was huge. We were able to give people a hot meal when they had no electricity. Other groups from Holy Name came just this past weekend. Just a lot of goodness and just volunteers to help get it to those who need it. Volunteers help them to transport driving supplies from here to where they're more needed in the local areas. Volunteers just to come help unload trucks from the truck supplies. Like this morning, they just kind of show up and they have a ton of supplies to unload. Wow. We are trying to build a network so it's easier to meet, to bring so much supply, even the volunteers, to the particular needs. One of our biggest struggles has been communication. So we are trying to know better where are the needs and able to reach more quickly who are the volunteers who can help. So we're getting there. It's been a process of organization. But pretty much any talent you have can go to good use right now in some way, shape, or form in this area of the river parishes.
Wow. Yes. Where can they go to sign up to volunteer and help out?
I think just an email through the webpage is a good start. There are some groups that have like a good online sign-up sheet. After Empower, we'll try to post something like that to make it easier. For now, just a webpage saying, here, we're here, we'd love to help, and we can put them on like an Excel chart list of volunteers, which is starting to meet our Excel chart of homes in need.
Yeah, I'm sure. Father Stephen, tell us the condition of Holy Family, of the church itself. Did you sustain damage there?
Honestly, we consider ourselves very blessed. We had trees down everywhere except in our vital areas. So, like, the church itself did okay. Our old church, which is now the Life Center, got the most damage with some serious roof and wall damage, but it's also already in plan to be renovated, so we're hoping that that won't do too much damage. Other buildings that have some windows broken, other things like that, but so far no major damage on this property, which has been a huge gift, and it's allowed us to focus on other areas more in need, which has been a blessing.
That's great.
Father Stephen, are you guys communicating with the other priests and the other parishes nearby to coordinate the food and volunteer efforts? How are y'all getting around that and trying to make it a smooth transition? Do you have someone as a coordinator yet, or it's just you making phone calls?
It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of emails, but it seems like each parish is having a little group of members of like a team helping with that. So we started to build that network of communication. Like I said, we did okay, but we have space for supplies. So we've been supplying the other churches who are more closer to where the damage was more severe, and they're able to give it out better. But there's a constant back and forth of, what do you need? Can we get it to you? Did we get a supply in today that can help with that? And not only that, with the civil parish, the president, Matt Jewell, of the parish, he's been involved. He helped us connect to various other parishes. Just last Friday, I don't know if you saw it on it was a beautiful take on the news, but we had like at least 20 parishes in this area of all different denominations working together to try to get supplies to the various churches that are helping to distribute them to the people who lost everything further west.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, we focus on Catholicism and Catholic churches and parishes, but there's other religion faiths that need just as much help, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And are really, together, we're definitely boots on the ground where the people are.
That's right.
And it's a beautiful effort to get it to the people who most need it.
Yeah. No, you don't have to be Catholic to get it, is the
point. There you go. That's right.
Absolutely.
Not at all.
Absolutely.
We're all victims. We're all in great need right now.
Amen.
For sure.
Absolutely. Father Dardis, what is that email? You said the best way to communicate you is via email. What is that?
Let's just go with sdardis at arch-no.org. I'll take it. Sdardis at arch-no.org.
All right, wonderful. And you can also keep up on Facebook, facebook.com/LulingCatholic. I also posted a phone number on there as well, as you can text the phone number on our comment section Facebook Live video, but it's 985-778-1850. So that's 985-778-1850. Father Stephen Dardis, pastor with Holy Family Church in Luling, thank you so much for joining us. Before we let you go, may we ask for a priestly blessing?
Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and all that you try to do to bring the Word of God to where it is most needed. Amen.
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. And you can count on our prayers for you. And, you know, I appreciate you joining us today and that we can communicate with each other. So thank you so much,
Father Dardis. Grateful, grateful that cell phone lines allowed it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
You know, Gabby, in these communities that have been hit so hard by Ida, folks who are listening who are not in that rebuild phase, a great way to contribute to this is to go to your local Catholic Charities. Mm-hmm. So Catholic Charities, the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, or wherever you are, you can donate through your Catholic Charities and just ask them to designate that for Ida relief.
Yeah. St. Mm-hmm. Vincent de Paul as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yep. Yes, yep. Definitely. Wow. Okay, well, I can't wait to get to our next guest as well, Dr. Tina Holland with Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady in Baton Rouge. She will join us in just a few more minutes. It is 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Tuesday, Mexico's Supreme Court reversed parts of a Mexican state's pro-life law punishing abortionists. Until now, Mexican states have been allowed to make their own abortion laws, but eugenic, big-money abortion groups have been pressuring Mexico to fling open their doors to abortion. A Rasmussen poll over the weekend concurs with previous U.S. polling and finds 46-43, most Americans support the new Texas heartbeat abortion ban. While feds continue seeking ways to reverse Texas law, Governor Greg Abbott continues defending his state's actions. And following other Texas abortion restrictions, Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota is using executive order to ban webcam mail order chemical abortions. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life has a rarely mentioned but very formidable enemy. Pornography is material that deceives its consumers into thinking that they possess beauty, while the reality is they are possessed by a lie. The first step may be to talk openly with your pastor or confessor. Reject the lie and recognize that a culture of life relies upon you. While the opposite is true, one media outlet is trying to sell abortion as good for the economy. Former Planned Parenthood worker Abby Johnson has a different take, drawn from her view inside the abortion industry and now within the abortion abolition movement. Abby Johnson slams abortion work as simply demonic. Other stories at Life News show the New York Times giving tacit admission that human life begins at conception. And Terry McAuliffe, running for governor of Virginia, continues describing himself as a brick wall against any restrictions on abortion. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
And good Monday morning to you. It is 7:35 on Wake Up. So glad you could join us and start the week with us. Damian Collada along with Gabby Smith and Alicia Quibido. And now it's time to talk to our regular resident of sorts, Dr. Tina Holland, president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady in Baton Rouge, better known as Fran U. And we always love to catch up and see what's going on, especially in these days and ages. Yes. My goodness. Dr. Holland, good morning to you, and how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. how about the university, though? What has been going on? How have y'all been able to handle the Ida situation on top of COVID?
Wow. You know, it's been tough, but there's always, I have a friend who used to say to me, you know, Tina, there's always people better off than you, and there's always people worse off. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we've really been thinking about those who have been suffering a lot more, and for whom, you know, difficult times are a lot more common. So I guess we're really trying to focus on our blessings. And we also know that, you know, blessings often come in a form of a cross. And so we know we've got to just sort of carry those crosses for one another and try to make them a little bit lighter. But, you know, even in the face of so many challenges, we are definitely happy to be able to focus on the good things that are happening. You know, the university's going to be celebrating our groundbreaking of the St. Francis Hall, the first new university building in the history of the of the school. Awesome. We'll be, even though the construction will have started, we will do a formal groundbreaking on October 14th. And, you know, trying to get it as close to the Feast of St. Francis as possible. I'm going to be out of town during our actual Franciscan week. But on October 14th, we'll be doing a formal groundbreaking ceremony, which we're really looking forward to.
Yeah. And, well, you said Franciscan week. You got me curious.
Yes.
What takes place and when is that exactly?
Well, Franciscan week is typically the first week in October. And this week, this year, that's when it will be, the week of October 4th. And we started out with a mass on Monday, the 4th, and then there are all kinds of little events throughout the week to educate and remind folks of our Franciscan heritage. It's all done by volunteers on campus. A mission effectiveness committee is just a bunch of really mission-minded folks who put together events that remind us of who we are as a Franciscan and Catholic institution. So it's an annual celebration that we do in honor of our Franciscan heritage, and of course of our founders, the Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady.
Well, I didn't even know that existed. That's awesome. Of course, I'm not a student anymore.
Yeah, so it'd
be, right.
Though I could be, because I guarantee you,
that's
the age
right.
is not a hindrance.
That's
at Fran
right.
U.
Oh, no.
They
no.
You cover the gamut.
There you go.
In fact, I was at an event, a Legatus event, a couple of weeks ago, and one of the members said to me, he's a physician, and he said, hey, I'm taking classes there. He's apparently got a son or a daughter in one of our programs, and he's taken the theology class and absolutely loves it.
Wow.
So
that's
yeah,
awesome.
we're definitely multi-generational, and you know, and with that in mind, I gotta say that even in the face of COVID-19 surges and Hurricane Ida, enrollments beat our budgeted figures again this year, this mm-hmm. fall. It is really kind of surprising to us, but it's a pleasant surprise, of course.
Well, and a lot of that has to do with the way you lead your team. Mm-hmm. And I say that because you guys recently received national endorsement for your nursing and business colleges with the College of Distinction, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, mm. yes. And a lot of that has to do with the engagement of the students and when they're in the program, and then when they get out, when they graduate from the program, their engagement in the community and their focus on, you know, meeting the needs of our local folks.
Yeah.
Both in service and through employment.
Yeah. Well, how are you meeting the needs right now? Okay, an old saying a buddy of mine used to say, if it's not one thing, it's two.
Right.
So we had COVID, then Ida. How are you, what measures are you taking to keep the student body involved and connected? Because they're coming from all walks of life and all right. areas of South Louisiana to come to school. Are you having
right.
to go virtual again, or were you able to
keep
classes
no, actually,
open? Share with us what's
no,
happened.
No, the campus was blessed to not be too terribly affected physically. So we were actually able to expand our library hours during a time when most people were out of power. So there was a place for students to come, for air conditioning, for internet, you know, for power. And, you know, as long as they could get to campus. And mm-hmm. some of them had a difficult time getting to campus. So we started a relief fund. And, oh, my goodness, we're almost at $7,000 in just folks calling in and mm-hmm. Contributing money to be able to lighten the burden for some of our faculty and staff who might mm-hmm. be in outlying areas. We have students, faculty, and staff taking in people from some of the outlying parishes. It's been always, for me, not being from around here, very, very eye-opening and heartwarming to see how people reach out to one another. Mm-hmm. And then in the programmatic sense, in the ways that we're being indispensable, of course, is the obvious is in our the enthusiasm with which students enroll in the healthcare disciplines. Mm-hmm. But something that I really wanted to share today also was that on Thursday, we had our board meeting, and prior to the board meeting, Bishop Duca dedicated the Thursday morning's 8 o'clock TV mass to the Franciscan University, and many of our board members were logged into that mass, myself included. And he talked about how the university is becoming indispensable to the diocese.
Yeah.
And boy, that really, really pleased me, because that's the purpose of a Catholic university in any diocese. And so often there's so many presidents that I know that are constantly butting heads with their bishop, or constantly kind of pushing the envelope on certain controversial issues or whatever. And that is not at all the problem, a problem here. In fact, our greatest challenge is really to try to make accessible our theology and catechetical certificate program to as many people as possible so that they can support the diocese.
Well,
and I got to tell you, we've got this year, I checked to see how our numbers were in folks in our various theological programs, and we actually have 10 new certificate candidates in the catechesis program, 6 new deacon candidates, and 5 new theology majors, including, you may know, the Mercedarian Sisters.
Yes.
Who have chosen our diocese to come and continue their formation and their education. Wow. So, I mean, we feel, while the bishop, of course, noted that we're becoming indispensable, we feel really blessed to be able to start to meet some of the needs of the diocese.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Tina Holland, for all the work you're doing. We are blessed to have you in our community as well as your leadership of FranU. And thank you again for joining us. We'll have you back next month. Right now, it's 7:45 on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 7:48. Thank you for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. We're so glad you joined us this morning. Looking forward to chatting with our friend Allison Millett. She's the president and CEO of Women's New Life Clinic in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Doing very well. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Good. Okay, so the first question I have to ask is, how did you fare both clinics in Hurricane Ida?
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for asking. First, I want to just let y'all know our thoughts and prayers go out to all of your listeners who are recovering from Hurricane Ida. We fared very well. We are very blessed. Our Baton Rouge clinic didn't have any damage, and as soon as we restored power, we reopened on Friday, September 3rd. And our New Orleans clinic did get a little damage. We've got some water in the building, we think just from wind-driven rain, but we've moved really quickly to start on those repairs, and we opened last Tuesday as soon as the power came back on.
That's
amazing. Yeah, we were very excited. We don't quite know yet what the total cost of the repairs will be, but we got moving, and we needed to be there for women.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Allison, has the storm made a difference in the number of women who've been calling for your help?
I don't know how much of an increase we saw. For your listeners who aren't familiar with us, Women's New Life Clinic offers free pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, and professional counseling for women in unplanned pregnancies. And we also offer free counseling for past abortion, pregnancy loss, postpartum depression, and then we also offer free abortion pill reversal. So what we know is in the midst of crisis, unplanned pregnancies don't stop. Mm-hmm. During the storm, women were still calling and emailing us, asking us for help. There were still abortion-minded, abortion-vulnerable women, and just women nervous and scared. But even though we weren't physically open, our counselors were equipped to answer those calls and to help women who were in need. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the last 18 months have been really tough on everybody. We've got the pandemic and then the hurricane. And just imagine if you add to that an unplanned pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It's crisis on top of crisis on top of crisis. I was personally amazed at the number of women that were reaching out in the midst of the storm. But we know, you know, we can help women. We can provide that hope for them. So far this year, we can confirm that 83 women have changed their minds for life after receiving care at our clinics, which
That's
is pretty incredible.
Amazing. It is.
Yeah.
Wow. So even though I'm just amazed, even though because your providers must have also been preparing and having to deal with their own homes during Ida, but they're still available to talk to the women who need them.
Yes, we have a really great plan in place for hurricanes, for pandemics and shutdowns, and we were prepared. So our counselors have the phones ready. They take phones with them, and even though they were displaced with their own families, they were there to be able to answer calls and emails for women. And our counselors were also set up to do telehealth, if need be, to help women until we could physically be open and provide the ultrasounds and the pregnancy tests for them.
That's amazing. It's amazing that in the throes of all this, you were able to find someone to come in and do your repairs in New Orleans.
Praise God. No kidding.
Wow. Wow. Well, Allison, you have some events coming up. I know, you know, you had to make a change from in-person to virtual, but tell us about the Gala for Life.
Yes, our fall events are still happening. The gala is once again, and hopefully for the last time, a virtual event. Yes. It will be held same time and date, Friday, October 8th at 7 p.m. This will be a live stream event. We ask all your listeners to go to womansnewlife.com/donate to click on gala and register for the event. You know, in spite of all that we've gone through, we want our supporters to just have a chance to still celebrate thousands of amazing women that we've been able to help because of them for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. The gala's going to be exciting. We're going to have giveaways. There's still the silent auction. There will be music. But most importantly, we're going to be able to hear directly from those clinicians, those women that were displaced themselves and were helping women. We'll hear from them. They're on the front lines of helping these women. And we'll learn about the beautiful ways that they're empowering women and bringing them hope. So we're really excited about this. Friday, October 8th at 7.
Okay. And so you do need to register ahead of time. I was a participant last year. I really enjoyed it. It's a great way to learn more about Women's New Life. And as you said, celebrate all the amazing things that you do in the Baton Rouge and New Orleans communities. So give us that website one more time so folks can register for the gala.
Yes, womansnewlife.com/donate.
Excellent. Okay, tell us about Born to Run Baton Rouge.
Okay, Born to Run Baton Rouge is Saturday, November 6th in person at North Boulevard Town Square. So we're coming back together. It is a 5K and a 1 mile fun run that starts at 8:30. There is early bird pricing going on now. You've got about 3 more weeks. That ends October 1st. So early bird pricing ends October 1st. Okay. We also have student and child rates. If you're a family of 6 or more, please contact our office for special pricing. The event is not just the race. It's so much fun. We have the post-race birthday party, which is going to have great food, a kids' corner, music by the band Carbon Copy. They're a local Baton Rouge band.
Nice.
Prizes for top runners. Yeah. There's also lifesaver status. So teams of 10 or more will be able to put their team name on a t-shirt and pick their own team t-shirt color. So we're really excited about that. Lots of sponsorship, underwriting opportunities. It doesn't matter if you're in the Baton Rouge area. We accept anyone outside of the Baton Rouge area. Go to the same website I've been saying. And if you're wondering, Saturday, November 6th, is an LSU away game, they'll be at Alabama that day.
Oh, my goodness. I knew it.
I love it. I love it. We're visiting with Allison Millette. She's president and CEO of Women's New Life Clinic in Baton Rouge.
I was
going to
say, you may want to sign up for the run and just keep running, because it's not going to be worth watching that game.
Oh, golly.
You should be done in plenty of time for that game. We don't want to miss
That's
it.
That's right. There you go. You got it.
There you go. You can still get together with your people after.
That's right. We operate strictly through private donations. We just ask you to help us offer this life-affirming care to women in need, and we just ask you to go to womansnewlife.com/donate. And you'll see all the information there.
Wonderful. Thank you for all you do in our communities, Allison. We're so grateful for such a gift as Women's New Life Clinic, helping so many women in crisis. Thank you so much, my friend. We will chat with you next month. God bless you. Wow, that's womansnewlife.com. Check them out. They do amazing things. Yep.
All right. Well, a very fast hour. So glad you could join us. We're going to wrap up with a prayer to St. Joseph in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. St. Joseph, help us to be like you. Help us to be obedient to the teachings of the Holy Catholic Church and faithful to God's commands. Help us to patiently endure our cross each day. Let us be a model of holiness and a pillar of virtue. We solemnly promise to embrace God's will and accept the challenge to work tirelessly for our family's salvation. Be our guide and companion on this journey. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us and protect us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have Jose Gonzalez joining us, Matt Estrada with Peace with Dementia Rosary, and David Aguillard with Catholic Charities and the Diocese of Baton Rouge. They have plenty of resources for you, so you definitely want to stay tuned for that. But have a wonderful Monday and a great start to your week. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.